Greetings, I'm Fred Zaspel. Welcome to another author interview here at Books at a Glance. It is not often that we have a new book come out that is truly unique and a genuine contribution to biblical studies, but I think that's what we have today with Nancy Dawson's new book, All the Genealogies of the Bible, Visual Charts and Exegetical Commentary. Nancy's with us today. Welcome, Nancy. Great to have you with us.
Thank you very much for inviting me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, this is your first time with us. Why don't you introduce yourself for us?
Yes. Well, my background is actually in the sciences. And so I have had sort of two careers, one in plant taxonomy for a master's, and I went ahead and did a PhD in cell biology. And then I've been on faculty, Western Kentucky, and at Texas A&M. And I got into theology when our family moved to North Carolina, and I had a chance to go to Duke Divinity School. I had always taught in the church and was interested in theology, and that was just the opportunity to pursue that. So I live in Montgomery, Texas, about an hour north of Houston, and just write full-time, do biblical research.
Great. All right. Thanks. Okay. Tell us what your book is all about and what you hope to accomplish with it.
Okay. When I was in seminary at Duke, I looked for a book that would have a lot of genealogies, and I could not find one. There were certain ones, certain articles that would be about certain Genesis charts, for example, but I could not find anything that was comprehensive in scope. So I set out really not even to, I wasn't really at first starting to study genealogies. I was trying to read through scripture just front to back, and I kept charts. I'm going to show you what they look like. Hold on. Let me see. Yeah, I'm having trouble here. Share my screen. So I started keeping charts, just Genesis through, this is the Old Testament charts, and just seeing, I could see that there was all these relationships, and I wanted to document them kind of in a taxonomic way. And so I began in Genesis, and there's a lot in there. And then, of course, the high point is in Chronicles. I started out in 2000 doing this, and then Chronicles, I made it to there in about 2007. I finished Old Testament in like 2013, and then did the New Testament charts about, took about 3 years longer. So, that's how I got into it. And it's just been, it was literally just doing these rough drafts, trying to always keep track of the line of the Messiah. And then, you know, they get complicated very, very quickly. So this is what they looked like. So their family tree charts, I would use vertical lines to show father-son relationships. And then if something, if the chart was specifically about individuals here, I put boxes around them. But of course, those had to translate into something that was much cleaner. And here's like that same chart, First Chronicles 2, Jacob and his 12 sons. And so here's what the chart looked like when it was cleaned up. In the subtitles, I always provided like the dating for the people if possible. And then, of course, I added the relevant scriptures that I'm drawing from so people can go back and check that work. Later on, the commentators, myself and Dr. Merrill and Andreas Kostenberger, we wrote biblical and theological significance for each chart. And then you'll notice if in the chart, there is like a number, like Isaac says, superscript two. There's extensive notes that accompany each chart. So this is what they look like, kind of cleaned up, and so on. So what's complicated about genealogies is that there's so many names, and they appear like just this nexus of names that people realize they're important. But, you know, when you're reading along, you cannot keep track of things. So you have to do these drafts of charts. And I've had people ask me, well, how do you even think about genealogies? And I think about them in basically two ways. They're like a house that's being constructed. That foundation is Christ. And like Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Or the witnesses of Ruth and Boaz's marriage, they say, may the Lord make the woman who's coming into your house like Rachel and Leah that built up the house of Israel. So you see, it's kind of like constructing a house of ancestors and descendants. And then what you see is this general progression of Old Testament. The Beit is the physical house. And later in the New Testament, it seems to transition to more of a spiritual house for a place where God's people worship. And that's supported by a lot of New Testament verses like this. You yourselves are God's temple. In 3 days, I will raise up. And Jesus says, and he is the temple, and that we are the living stones in that spiritual house. So that's kind of one way to look at them. The other way is that they are literally building up a live tree, if you will, a tree of life. And this is Farrell Jenkins' picture of the cedars of Lebanon. And so Jesus is, of course, our anchor. But we are like the branches, and there's these live edges that are always being included. You know, first as Jews and then as Gentiles. And so these are the kinds of scriptures that support that. Jesus is our foundation, the house, the righteous grow like a cedar of Lebanon planted in the house of the Lord. And of course, God is identifying himself not of the dead, but of the living. And so there's like this dynamic relationship that's being developed. And so that's really what I've been trying to do, is just document in an exhaustive way all the genealogies where they're presented. And that's three generations or more. And there are 288 charts in the book. The bulk of them come from Old Testament, which is 260 charts. And then there's about 20, 25 in New Testament. And then there is also some supplement files for rulers in the biblical world. And I can tell you about those in a little bit. So that's what it's been about.
It's a wonderful achievement. I have an interest in genealogies myself ever since my part of my seminary training included some ancient history, and we developed genealogies, and particularly in Genesis and different things. And that ever since then, it's been a very interesting area of study for me. Now, I used to have a book in my library called All of the Boring Passages of the Bible. And of course, the genealogies featured prominently in that book. So are genealogies boring, or maybe better? What is their function? What's their role? Describe that for us, particularly with regard to the storyline of the Bible.
Okay. Let me go back to what you first said. One of the endorsers on the book was Daniel Block. And he wrote at one point, he said, studying genealogies is like doing devotions in the phone book. So this is why people, you know, like they know they're significant, but they just can't grasp what the significance of them are. And they just do these wonderful things. I have a slide that I'd like to show you. They basically, they show you familial relationships. And so if they're identifying a social structure in ancient Israel and in the first century. So the main thing is that, is there a major type of literary genre? And, you know, they're just like narratives or poems or the gospels or the epistles, but they answer this important question, who are the people of God? And this is going to be the covenant family that God draws out, separates, and from there you will have the line of the Messiah. The genealogies come in two basic structures. So as I showed you, or will show you, there's linear forms. And that is the atypical type. This is where you just show father, son, succession, and it, and the generations can be three generations in length, or the greatest one is in Luke, where you find 77 names, father, son, or father heirs. And then the more common type is the segmented type of genealogy. This is the branching family trees, where you show the offspring from a parent, or sometimes you know also the mother's name. Their functions, they have a multitude of functions, but I would say one of the things that I found is that scripture always establishes this patrilineal descent. And it's starting with the individual within a clan, within a tribe. And that's, and then of course the nation of Israel and beyond the nation, like the Gentiles that are brought in. They often show the census data, like when the people come into the promised land. And so you're seeing exact relationships, the status of the individuals within that social order. And so you can see in these visual charts, you have a way to identify the ancestors and the descendants. And there's a significant number of levirate marriages that are identified. So it's a social framework for understanding the biblical narratives. And if you are like a wannabe priest, you cannot hold that office unless you have the legitimate heritage for priests or a Levite or a king. You can't just decide that you want to be those. And then a major thing is that I saw all throughout Old Testament, you are tracing the line of the Messiah. And this is like a long scroll, and you're whip stitching the leaves together to show the family of Jesus, the Messiah. So that's
Can you describe for us? Can you describe for us the role that Dr. Merrill and Kostenberger had in?
Yes. Let me show you this picture. This just is the title page. Dr. Eugene Merrill. He's a professor emeritus of Old Testament at Dallas Theological Seminary. So he was the contributing editor on the Old Testament charts. So I had finished the work in about 2017, went to an ETS meeting. Zondervan was interested in publishing it, but they said, you will have to have scholars that come on board as, you know, sort of to authenticate this material. And so Dr. Merrill and I worked for, about 3.5 years on the Old Testament charts, since there was so many. Dr. Kostenberger was, of course, the former editor of the Jets Journal, and he's now he's the founder of Biblical Foundations, and he's a wonderful scholar, New Testament scholar. And so he came on board as a contributing editor. So I would say Dr. Merrill and I concentrated on writing the biblical and theological significance for each chart. And then Dr. Kostenberger helped me check some of the New Testament charts for dates and that kind of thing.
Okay.
So wonderful scholars, wonderful collaborators that I truly appreciated.
Oh, of course. Okay, we've been talking big picture. Let's take a couple of samples before we let you go. Let's first of all talk about the big one. That's Jesus' genealogy and some of the significance of that. The big question always comes up, of course, is the difference between Matthew and Luke. How do you think is best to understand that? And then also with that, tell us how Joseph and Mary may have been related.
Okay, I will. This was a major goal of mine when I was studying through the genealogies. I knew from the get-go that the Matthew 1 and Luke 3 charts for Jesus' genealogy were going to be patrilineal descent, because that's how all of the genealogies are presented. So what I did was I found a way of presenting them side by side. This is, I wanted to share my screen again. Okay. I found a way to understand and present the Matthew and Luke genealogy sort of side by side. So you'll notice I'm going back to an Old Testament chart, but it was real key to understanding what was going on. So this is 1 Chronicles 3, Zerubbabel and Shealtiel, and the double line of the Messiah. So Matthew and Luke are tracing two separate double lines. There's four individuals that are similar to those genealogies, and those are David, Zerubbabel and Shealtiel, and Joseph, right here, the father, the earthly father of Jesus. So what I did was, one is ascending order, one's descending order. And what you realize is Jesus is from the tribe of Judah, and they are tracing, like Matthew is tracing the genealogy of David and Bathsheba through their son Solomon. So it's a kingly line leading down here to one of the last kings, Jehoiakim. The Nathan line is being traced in Luke's genealogy. So again, it's a son of David and Bathsheba, which is kind of surprising. This is why the names are so different. And then you'll see here, you get to the time of the exile. This is the Babylonian exile. Jehoiakim goes into exile, and here is sort of what is seemingly the terminus of the Nathan line, the non-kingly line. But you see this individual, Shealtiel, that's called both a son of Jeconiah or Jehoiakim and a son of Neri. And this is the crossover point. And so what happens is that there is a chiastic structure at the time of the exile. And this is how come these names are similar. And the same thing happens with Zerubbabel. He has kind of a family of three offspring and a family of five offspring, which probably are levirate marriages that involve Shimei, Zerubbabel's brother. Zerubbabel was the, he helped with primarily, well, he was the governor of Yehud, and he was also involved in building up the second temple. And so after Zerubbabel, the line split again. So this is the bottom part of that X or chiastic structure. So here's the continuation of the Matthew line. You see that those people lived a little longer. Luke's line, and then eventually you have here with leading to Joseph, and Joseph marries Mary. And then I found that there were, in that heritage of Jesus and Joseph, you see 10 places where there's asterisks beside these names. And you realize that there's this pattern of where two men in succession marry the same woman. And that's not what's expected. What's expected is that it would just be father, son, succession. But we know that Bathsheba was the former wife of Uriah. We see that David's mother is never listed, but Jesse, David has half-sisters, Abigail and Zeruiah, and their father is Nahash, not Jesse. And so this means that David's mother was first married to this person and then married Jesse. That's not what is expected. And the same kind of thing happens, and this happens just in the generations above Joseph. Joseph's father, Jacob, and Joseph's father, Heli. One is the biological father, one is the legal father. And so when you have cases of levirate marriage, there's a family member, a close relative, a brother that has died without children. And the Levitical law stipulate that the brother that's living is to raise up children for his brother. Well, obviously the brother is dead, but the children born of the lever, the first child becomes the legal heir of the deceased brother. And that's what happens in these generations. And then, of course, the lever has biological children so I could actually see in Jesus's genealogies, Luke's genealogy here, the Alpha and the Omega. Here's Matthew's genealogy on this side, David leaving down to Zerubbabel, and then Matthew's continued here, leading to Jesus. So Jesus is the son of David. The Luke genealogy shows this crossover point. So this is the chiastic structure. This is when there's the most pressure on the line to really die out, because of the exilic period is, there's sword, famine, pestilence. And then I also looked at Jesus's immediate family. So here's Mary and Joseph. Joseph being the earthly father of Jesus and his legal guardian. Of course, Jesus is the firstborn son of Mary by the Holy Spirit. But after Jesus is born, Mary and Joseph have at least four sons and two sisters. And it's James the Just that's the first leader of the Jerusalem church. He's the author of the Epistle of James. And here's Jude or Judas, and he's the author of the Epistle of Jude. So that was very interesting. I could also see here, I invoked like five sources to look at some of these names that are not bolded. So any name here, Mary and Joseph, based upon scripture and church tradition. So I'm using five extra biblical sources. Mary and Joseph may have been related. And what I found, so let's go down to what we know. Here's Mary and Joseph. Here's Mary's firstborn son, Jesus. And Mary and Joseph have these four sons and daughters. But we also know from the gospel accounts that Mary has a sister, Salome, and this is the wife of Zebedee. And so James and John are the first cousins of Jesus because they share the same grandparents. The extra biblical literature says that the parents of Mary were Anne and Joachim. And other material shows this matrilineal side of Mary, explaining that her mother was Anne, her aunt was this person, and another person named Mary. There are lots of Marys. And that this is Elizabeth's mother. So Elizabeth is married to the priest. They're both from the line of Aaron. And so John the Baptist here is the second cousin of Jesus. So you and your first cousins share your grandparents. Second cousins share great-grandparents. And so we see this matrilineal descent of Mary's side, but on her father's side and on Joseph's side, it's all the tribe of Judah here going back. And we see that Joseph of Arimathea, this is also in the literature, is he was like an uncle of Mary, Mary's uncle. It was Joachim's brother. And so here's that, those two structures, David and Bathsheba having Solomon, and this is the kingly line, the non-kingly line. They unite at the time of the exile with Shealtiel and Zerubbabel. And then they split again. And so, and here's this person named Clopas, and this is going to be the leader of the church. Down here, Simeon is like the leader of the church after James dies. So that was revealing. And I had to, like I said, I used like five what I thought were credible extra biblical sources. And so that was that. That's the story of that family.
Good. All right, we're running out of time here. I should mention that you have covered in your book Herod and the Herodian dynasty. I think that'll be helpful for people as they look through sorting out which Herod is which in the biblical narrative. You've done the same kind of thing with Annas and Caiaphas, and you've done it with several others as well. I think it's helpful as a resource. I think it's the kind of book that you'll want to keep handy at the desk when you're doing study. You even include insignificant people, more insignificant, and that is like Simon of Cyrene. You've got Timothy, Titus, you've got Old Testament figures, and then you give a lot of supplemental information in the appendices. Did you leave anything out?
I'll show you the supplements. Let me show you the supplement charts. Sorry about that. So when I went to Zondervan, you know, there's a lot of literature out there that shows list of the kings of, for instance, Assyria or Babylon or Persia and so on. But what they asked me to do, this was Madison Trammell, who was at Zondervan at the time. He asked me if I would think about coming up with genealogies for these people. And so there's 13 supplement files, the pharaohs of the 12th and 18th dynasties. These are related to the stories of Joseph and Moses. I did all the high priests of Israel. That took about a year or so to do. A lot of Josephus. You have to read a lot of books to write a book. But anyway, I came up with the genealogies for Assyrians, Babylonians, Persians. The Ptolemies and the Seleucids, of course, rule over Palestine for a portion of the period. And the Maccabean period. I came up with the genealogy of Josephus, all the Roman emperors. And then here's the Roman rulers of Judea and Galilee. So I would say that it's as exhaustive as you can be within, like, this is like 600 pages. So, you know, I would have liked to bring in more like Near East studies about genealogies, but I could not do that. I was just limited by space. There's exhaustive subject and scripture indices at the end of the book. So if a person is writing a commentary or writing a paper or pastor is giving a sermon, it's very easy to look at the subject index or the scripture index. There's like 40 pages of those. So you can look up the name of the person and all the places in this book where they're discussed. I hope it will be a very, very useful resource for the church, for the academy.
I believe it will be. We're talking to Nancy Dawson about her new book, All the Genealogies of the Bible. It really is a one-of-a-kind resource. It's the kind of thing that any pastor or teacher will want to have handy for a reference. It'll save you tons of time looking through it. We highly recommend it. Nancy, great to have you with us. Thanks a lot for talking to us today.
Thank you so much.